If you step into like a cool cocktail bar today, 10 to 1, they have drinks on the menu made from mezcal. It's a Mexican spirit with this intense, roasted, smoky flavor. But even just a decade ago, barely anyone in America had heard of it. You could call it the hot new thing in bartending, except that it's hundreds of years old, and in Oaxaca, it's much more than a drink. Bricia Lopez, who's been called the mezcal queen of Los Angeles, is here to talk about it. Hola, Bricia.
Hola, Francis.
Okay, so we know mezcal tastes incredible, so unique. But I sometimes hear people talk about it almost like it's a spiritual thing. Is that right?
Yes. You know, I think that is what really differentiates mezcal a lot from every other spirit. It's this connection that it gets to people, right? And when you meet someone for the first time who's been to Oaxaca and has experienced this spiritual buzz, per se, in Oaxaca, it's always the same story or similar stories, right? I went to Oaxaca, I went to the Palenque, I met the maker, we were talking to each other, we were sipping mezcal, and it was almost like I elevated into a different realm, and I didn't, you know, and it opened my mind to so many other things. And I hear it from so many different people that visit Oaxaca or from people who have had their first experience with mezcal. And it really doesn't surprise me. And, you know, and yes, I think that there is a sense that some people over-romanticize it, but I can't help but believe that it really has something to do with where mezcal came from and the traditions it holds and really what weaves people together. You know, mezcal was, for a very long time, it still is in many parts of Oaxaca, almost like a healing agent. It was used primarily by women, by these healers called curanderas in the towns of Oaxaca and the small villages. And these women, you would go to them, right? And it usually has something to do with curing some sort of childhood trauma within you. And they call it susto in Spanish, or aire. There's something to do with air and you being scared as a child. But you come, you can come at any age, really. But, you know, typically, I remember the first time I had my first cleansing of susto, I must have been 12, maybe.
Okay.
And they bring you into this room, and there's this woman who has a cántaro, which is this bowl made out of red clay, and she has copal burning, and she puts copal in the smoke around you. And then she takes a sip of mezcal and she spits into your back. And in that moment, it's meant to release a lot of spirits that don't belong inside of you. And she dips herbs in mezcal and cleanses your body. You know, and it was a way for you to be healed. Also, it was used among women after giving birth to drink a little bit of mezcal to kind of help their body relax and rub mezcal in their temples and the back of their neck. And, you know, that saying that's very famous now here in the U.S., para todo mal mezcal y para todo bien también, which really means for everything that's going wrong, have mezcal, and for everything that's going great, have mezcal. And I kid you not that if you, but I think that has to do a lot with both things, right? With you being cured of something and also celebration. And mezcal was I think that at the essence of it, it's a communal drink. And I think a lot of spirits are, but I think mezcal more than any of them. You know, the idea of sitting down and, you know, drinking mezcal by yourself isn't very popular. Mezcal is to be shared with your community.
Yeah.
Mezcal is to be shared with the town. When people come, you invite someone to a wedding, or it's mostly weddings. It's a lot of mezcal to be drank in weddings. Or when somebody even passes away, you know, you bring your mezcal as an offering to the dead. But when you're getting married, you bring your mezcal an offering to the living and sharing the best that you've produced. There's a lot of community building surrounding mezcal.
Yeah.
And I think that spirit still lives inside mezcal, and it's what people are experiencing today, especially when you go to Oaxaca.
But even as an outsider, when you come to this place, and like, because you said in the beginning that you hear people all the time tell you, oh my God, I went and had mezcal and I felt like I was, you
yes.
know, something was happening. I mean, is it something in the drink itself? Is there, you know, something about it that does something to you? Or do you think it's just sort of, like you say, in the air, in the culture, and you just kind of fold yourself into it when you're there?
You know, I truly believe that, you know, we are connected to Mother Earth. And I truly believe that there's a deeper connection that we all have to the world, right? I don't know if it was my upbringing in Oaxaca, me growing up with these women who were healers and just understanding the connection between earth and body and spirit. But I can't help but believe that when you're walking through this beautiful soil and you're walking through these plants that take 7, 10, 20 years sometimes to grow and really capture all the minerals from the earth, it should capture that essence and spirituality as well. And, you know, when you think about an agave being a woman and coming from a female spirit, I think that's what makes it so powerful. You know, the plant is female. The plant does have children. And that essence gets roasted and enhanced, and you can't help but really fall in love with the process and story. And when you drink it, I think that really, really manifests in your body and the way you feel when you drink it.
Well, I don't even drink, and now I just want to go and like.
Maybe I'm a romantic too.
I want to go be with the mezcal now.
And yes, I think you can be. But you know, I just, what I always tell people, you know, if you've had mezcal here in the U.S. And if you like it, you like the flavor, make it a point to visit Oaxaca. Make it a point to have this experience with where it's being made, where it's being produced with the farmers. I met a producer that just changed my perception of what a mezcal producer is and should be labeled as. But he told me that he hated fancy titles, and he said, I don't want to be named a mezcal producer, a mezcal master. I'm a farmer. I am with the land. My hands touch the soil. My hands, you know, it's not even about cutting the plant, but, you know, I sacrifice this to make this product that allows me to keep my family's heritage and history alive. And that passion has to come back in whatever they make, right? And then mezcal, that passion comes back, and you're able to, it's the same thing that happens when you eat. And I think that's, it's like that movie, Like Water for Chocolate. It really resembles that, right? It's how you feel when you cook. It's really that energy lives inside your food. In your drink.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thanks so much, Bricia.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Bricia Lopez is the owner, with her family, of Geligetza Restaurant in Los Angeles, and her book is called Oaxaca, Home Cooking from the Heart of Mexico. You can find recipes for some of her favorite mezcal cocktails at splendidtable.org.